Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm joined by Benton A. Smith, fresh off of Easter, fresh off of the spring game, fresh off of... Doesn't look like you got a haircut, look like you got any new clothes.
Much sleep,
right. So just fresh off of grinding his way through this thing we call life. But Benton, as I'm sure most of you know by now, was all over the spring game. I did not make it. I was out of town celebrating the Easter holiday. Got mocked for it a little bit. I'm okay with that, though. Hey,
who would do that to you
on
Twitter?
Our beat writer.
Oh, okay.
Our football guy.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. But anyway, I watched some highlights, read plenty of stuff, watched some video of what went down. It sounds to me like it was a pretty entertaining day at the very least. Fair?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, and I wrote about this, David Beatty said, you know, he would have liked to have seen more more scoring, because it was 14-7.
Yeah. That was my first thought.
Yeah,
when I heard the final.
Like, exactly. Oh. That doesn't sound like it was like it would be very entertaining. But if you were there and kind of saw the pace of things, I think I wouldn't say that you left the stadium saying, "Oh my God, this is an unstoppable offense" or anything like that. But there was nothing like disappointing, I don't think, about the way the offense played for either team. And I think just the only thing was they didn't finish off some drives.
Okay.
And a lot of those, both quarterbacks, both Stanley and Bender in the first quarter had pretty decent drives that they just didn't finish with touchdowns. And then it was just there's not a lot of flow to those games,
right?
Because it's not a game.
Right.
You know, it's a practice and you're in scrimmage situations. And I mean, you're going up and down the field, but there's just something weird about it.
Sure.
It doesn't have a real flow to it.
The lead up to this game, in addition to the game itself, at least is from what I can tell, is you know, maybe made this the most competitive atmosphere, at the very least, that they've had for a spring game in a long time. I know I didn't cover very many competitive ones. I can remember covering some pretty low scoring ones as well.
Right.
And you know, those were some bad teams at times. So I how much of that not finishing drives and getting, struggling to score more than 21 total points was the defense just competing? I mean, that's got to be part of it, right?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I talked with Steven Sims for a while after the spring game ended, and he mentioned, you know, those defensive backs out there were really making it tough for them. So, I mean, that's a good sign. Good sign that Kenny Perry and Clint Bowen are coaching those guys up, because it's a pretty inexperienced position group in the secondary. Mike Lee, who's a sophomore, is basically the most experienced guy.
Boy, he shows it too.
Yeah.
He shows it and he knows it and he's good with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mike Lee is you know, he's on the fast track to like Aqib Talib status, different position, but like he's a free spirit.
Yeah.
Plays with fire. Runs around believing he's the best in the world, and a pretty good interview too. I mean,
yeah. I'm glad that we finally got a chance to talk to him this spring, because just KU's rules, they don't let freshmen or redshirt freshmen speak with the media.
Right.
So now that he's officially or unofficially a sophomore,
it's
his sophomore season coming up. We can actually talk to him, and he's entertaining. I mean, he's got an opinion on everything.
Sure.
I mean, you could ask him about, hey, did you see the way this person in the stands was acting during the game? And he probably could just, you know, go off on a 20-second tangent about something that had nothing to do with football. But he's fun to talk to. He's personable.
And yeah.
My favorite part of talking to him on Saturday was, obviously everybody wanted to ask him about him just unleashing on Ryan Chandler. Because that's his teammate, you know.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently it's the guy he hates.
You would have thought so, as hard as he hit him. Because, I mean, it happened early on in the first quarter. He got hit pretty hard. And then late in the game, hit him, just nailed him. Just
on the sideline?
Yeah. Sideline was early.
Oh, okay. And
then, I think over the middle.
It was
late in the game. But just unleashed on him.
Well,
like he was playing for K-State or something.
Yeah, and also that's like 2 days after your giant story about how Ryan Chandler had to have surgery to have his organs rearranged.
Right.
Evidently, Mike Lee didn't think the surgeons did the job thoroughly enough and was trying to rearrange them himself.
Well, I appreciated that Mike Lee was like, it was such a good story, let me re-injure him
so
Benton can write another story.
What
about
a good
Ryan
guy.
Chandler.
Yeah, nice guy. And let me clarify, by the Talib talk, I'm talking what you exactly said, the personable attitude, yeah. the colorful demeanor, the
confidence, you know, on
yeah,
the field.
Exactly. Like that's KU needs more of that. They've had some of that for sure, but Talib is sort of the gold standard of that, and right. always has been, yeah. and always will be. So he's got a ways to go before he becomes on that Talib level as a player, but he's definitely progressing toward it. And I read somewhere, I don't know if you had it or somebody else had it, but that Chris Harris, you know, told him after the game, sought him out and said, "Hey, keep it up. You keep playing like that, you'll be where I am someday." And you know, that's a pretty good spot. Pretty yeah. good place to be. You want to be a NFL multimillionaire playing for a title contender, winning rings. I mean, that's a good spot to be. So, and you know, Chris Harris, he doesn't mess around with that stuff. He wouldn't just say that.
Yeah,
you know,
he wouldn't just say that to someone who he saw nothing. Exactly. He saw no potential in.
Right. Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, for him to say that, pretty cool thing. Pretty cool nod for Mike Lee and. Obviously, he's definitely well on his way to becoming a team leader, not just a good player and a guy that you like to watch and talk to and all that, but certainly a leader of the defense, certainly of the secondary at the least.
Yeah, yeah, the secondary without question, the leader, because you know he's a guy who learned from Fish Smithson last year, and you know Fish would talk about, you know, this guy's texting me in the middle of the night with football questions.
That's
you know?
So cool.
He didn't want to. He had games where he would make a bunch of mistakes, and then that's when he would feel worse, and he'd be hitting Fish up on his phone and be like, "What about this? What about that?"
Saying sorry.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, apologizing for the plays that he had made. I think it was that Texas Tech game was the first game that he really played a lot, and but he just learned a lot from Fish, and now that Fish is gone, Mike Lee is really the guy in the secondary. I don't know on the defense overall. You still got Dorrance Armstrong, Daniel Wise, Joe Denis.
Yeah.
So I think those guys are probably
the true leaders, yeah.
but
of his unit.
Yeah, yeah. And Mike Lee is just he might be more talkative than some of those guys.
There you go. Good point.
You're gonna hear his voice on the field if you're out there playing with him.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and you're gonna see him because he's gonna hit people. And I loved what David Beatty said about it too. We want him to lead us in tackles, but we don't want him to lead us in missed tackles.
Right.
So
right.
That's an indication of the work he has to do still, and he will. I mean, when Steven Sims scored his touchdown, it was in large part because of a missed tackle by Mike Lee. If you watch that highlight and you watch Mike Lee instead of the touchdown, you can see Lee on his knees at around the 10-yard line where he missed the tackle, slamming his hands into the turf, like furious with himself, you know, and that's the guy you want. I mean, that's a guy anybody would want, but that's the guy you want here at Kansas, helping move this program forward, helping move them out of this rough stretch that they've had into this new era where the standard is raised, the expectations are higher, and frankly, you know, this is a culture change. I mean, there were too many guys that would miss that tackle and then just run to the sideline. I mean, this is the guy you want to see. You want to see it bother someone to that level.
Right.
And I love it.
And it's a spring game.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it means nothing, ultimately, that they missed that tackle. It wasn't like, you know, a home game against Texas.
Right.
And the game was on the line and he blew it. It was a spring game where it didn't matter if he missed 20 tackles, really.
Right.
Because we're still months away from the season.
Great point. To be fair, it might have mattered more because it sounds like there was a lot of trash talk.
Yeah, there was.
And so he knew he was going to hear about that. Yeah. So maybe he was all about himself right there and just devastated that Steven Sims had an opportunity to trash him.
I was talking to Steven after the game and like 20 feet away, Steven could see Mike Lee talking to someone else. And Steven just put his hand up to his head and made an L, just spelled out an L,
tough.
Just let him know.
Savage.
Took that L.
That's tough. Well, you mentioned the quarterbacks, Peyton Bender and Carter Stanley. Sounded like Tyreek Starks had a few good moments.
Yeah. He came in for Carter for a series late in the second quarter and completed a couple of good balls. One was down the sideline to Chase Harrell, and Harrell made an awesome catch to bring that one in.
Cool.
So that play was on Harrell, but then he hit Kwame Lasseter the second for a touchdown. So he actually had a touchdown pass, and Carter Stanley didn't get a chance to throw a touchdown pass. Peyton Bender had a couple of them.
Yeah, it speaks to the depth of the position. I mean, this was a guy who just a year ago, before Carter Stanley emerged and before they knew they were going to get Peyton Bender, I mean, mm-hmm. Tyreek Starks was a guy that both inside the program and outside the program, people were talking about as he's kind of got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy we pin our hopes to. Hopefully he can be the next quarterback. And now he's, for all intents and purposes, third string and making enough plays to get noticed. So that shows improvement, depth, top to bottom. I mean, you've got three guys that maybe you're not that terrified about now. And certainly those two have separated themselves. What do you see between Bender and Stanley? Again, spring game, situational, depends on, you know, one of them could have woke up on the other side of the bed and it would have been a totally different day. So it is just one game, or one day even, but it's the only day we get to see. So what'd you make? Who looked better? Who looked more comfortable, I guess?
I think on this particular day, you would have to give the edge to Peyton Bender. I think he was 11 for 15 throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Just was pretty precise in everything that he did. But we also got to see Stanley while working with a less renowned, experienced group of receivers make some plays too, and also make some of those plays with his feet, which Beatty had been talking up this spring. And I mean, that's kind of an added dimension that he could bring. So I think ultimately this quarterback race is going to be decided by who can actually, you know, make better plays throwing the ball.
Sure.
But when you've got that to add to your game with Carter Stanley, with the running ability, I think that makes you a little bit more of a weapon. Might give you a slight edge in some categories. So.
Well, yeah, in this conference and for what college offenses are now, that's a big part of a lot of them. So, yeah, and you know, in some ways, if Bender beats him out, you're not going to say, well, Carter Stanley can run a little bit. We better just let him do it. Because if Bender beats him out, he deserves the job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy you want. The guy running the team, throwing the ball, getting the ball out quickly. Quick release is obviously maybe an edge to Bender there, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think that Carter Stanley could have put up the same numbers as Bender if he'd been working with the same receivers
as Bender. I like that.
Bender had Daylon Charlotte, Steven Sims, Laquiviante Gonzalez, Ryan Shadler. And I actually think that this is a good sign that KU had some other guys on the other side who made plays.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Harrell and Kerr Johnson Jr., who's a JUCO guy who's only been here one semester, and Ben Johnson. Those guys made plays with Carter throwing the ball. So I think that's a good sign for KU's receiving depth. But I just thought that had you switched sides, I think Carter would have had just as good a day as Peyton had.
Yeah, that's cool.
A couple touchdowns.
That's cool. And that kind of speaks to what Stanley's all about, really. I mean, his development has been exactly that. He got thrown out there last year after starting the season as the third string guy.
Yeah.
And you know, by the end of the year, he's starting and playing games and not really in an offense that was built around him or played exactly to his strengths, more as, you know, hey, we need you.
Yep.
Get out there and just run around and do some things and make things work and make things happen. And that's what he did. And he won a game. And, you know, I mean, that stuff's important. And I think that's probably why he had a little bit of success in that role.
Right.
Like you said, if the roles were reversed, Bender might have had an awful day.
Possibly.
And I'm not knocking him at all.
No.
But that's... that's the one thing that Stanley has is he's experienced in what it takes at Kansas.
Yeah.
Bender's done it at Washington State, and he's a veteran in terms of age and maturity and all those things too. But as far as doing it at Kansas, which is, as we all know, a different animal, it takes a different mindset.
Right.
At least right now, Stanley's got that, and you can't get that without having done it.
I think the biggest thing to take from this quarterback competition is that, you know, if both these guys remain healthy up until September, whoever wins the job, I think it's going to be a good thing for the program that you've got either or of those guys.
Yeah, I think a capable backup.
Yeah, I think, like, there's been times in the past where you left the spring game going, oh, who's going to play quarterback for this team? And I think if you've watched Peyton Bender, you've watched Carter Stanley, you could say, all right, I can see how both those guys could be effective for this offense.
Very cool, yeah. Let's jump over to the defense. We already talked a ton about Mike Lee, but those guys up front, Dorrance Armstrong has a chance to, you know, set NCAA records for sacks per minute. No, I don't know. He's got a chance to pretty much do whatever he wants. That's the kind of trend that this guy's on.
He's an amazing talent.
How'd he look?
Well, the thing about, and I actually wrote about this this afternoon in a blog, but the thing about the spring game is, just by its very nature and definition, you're kind of limiting your defensive ends in particular and your defensive linemen and what they can do.
Big time.
So, I mean, it's not really a game that highlights, in Kansas's case, two of your best players.
Yeah, right.
Torrance Armstrong and Daniel Wise, probably the two most talented guys on the entire roster.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's a spring game and you can't, you don't want to, you know, go out there and injure a quarterback, because we've seen that happen before at a KU spring
Not
game.
From the D-line
No,
position.
Not from those guys. but that's the last thing you would want to happen. So it's just it's got to be a weird mindset when a guy like Torrance Armstrong is used to beating his man around the edge and then just unleashing on a quarterback. But you can't do that. And he still had a sack in the game. And
right.
So did Daniel Wise had a couple of tackles for loss. So even though that they can't go be themselves, they were still making plays.
Yeah.
Because that's just how good they are.
That's cool. Joe Dineen was back too. We talked to him. I talked to him last week. And, you know, he's obviously, he says 100%, which is good. Did he look it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Joe Dineen looked as healthy as he's looked since, you know, the beginning of last season before he had that hamstring injury at the Memphis game. So it's obviously linebacker is one of those kind of positions where there doesn't appear to be a lot of known depth at this point. There's a lot of guys that are getting reps and maybe they can turn out to be something.
Sure.
But Joe Dineen is the guy that you need playing linebacker for this team.
No question.
They need his health. It's huge that he's back healthy, because a team without linebackers could be in some real trouble.
Definitely.
Any conference.
In the secondary, Hassan Defense, whichever way you want to pronounce it. He's a guy that sounds like he's had a really good spring. Derek Neal's another guy that you know, used to be a receiver. Now he's a corner, a nickel. Is Emmanuel Moore playing in the secondary?
Did he
talk about those three guys. Did you see anything from any of those guys?
I think all those guys that played corner in the spring game got chances to kind of obviously get tested.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's a passing friendly game, the spring game, and you've got talented receivers on both sides.
Right.
They got to be challenged, and they got to challenge back and make some plays here and there. I wouldn't say that anybody stood out necessarily, but I also wouldn't say that someone stood out for the wrong reason.
That's good.
Like, you know, someone got blown by and just blew a coverage.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of that. And I'm going to go back and rewatch the entire game, because I feel like I can get a better idea of everything than when you're up in the press box. You don't have the best view.
Right.
You're tweeting and writing as the game's going. Sometimes you miss some things. So I'm looking
Tom
forward
to Keegan's talking to you.
I'm looking forward to going back and watching it and kind of trying to see everything and maybe see some things that I missed. But I think that was probably my biggest takeaway, is that nobody as a cornerback looked awful or made a glaring mistake.
Good. I mean, against a good group of receivers Kenny Perry talked about that last week too, you know, saying that if our guys can't hold up against our receivers, you know, then that's what they're going to be facing when the games are really happening. And if they can, that's a good sign too, because our receivers are as talented as, you know, a lot of groups in the Big 12. So maybe that's a really good sign that they're at least, you know, again, progressing the right way. Nobody expects this team at any position to be a finished product on April 17th. You know, I mean, there's, as you mentioned, there's an entire summer. There's an entire preseason camp.
They still have two spring practices left.
That too. That's pretty important. So I think the last position we should talk about real quickly, and it's sort of the same thing that you kind of mentioned with the defensive line, because it's not a true game scenario and situation. You don't get to see the full spectrum of it, but it's such an important position, and that's the offensive line. There's some guys there that people really like. There's some guys there that finally have some experience and some bodies that look like they belong out there. Were you able to see anything from the offensive line that tells you which way it's leaning, or you know, you've heard about it. You've heard coaches say this, that, and the other about the O-line, and it should be better. There's no question. But did it look that way? Have you seen anything yet that can show you that, or is that still something we got to wait and see?
I think that's something that you have to wait and see on. The one thing about the offensive line, Mesa Robordi, the center, has been kind of banged up this spring, so he wasn't out there doing what he normally would do. But I think the most talented guys obviously are on either tackle, Akeem Adeniji and Charles Baldwin.
Right.
And I think both of those guys have the kind of size that, like you mentioned, KU's offensive line now looks like a Big 12 offensive line.
Right.
There have been, you know, a couple of years ago, sometimes you would see the guys that were on the field and just be like, oh boy.
Yeah.
They're so small, they're going to be in trouble. This is going to be tough for them to do.
Or when they did have size at the tackle spot.
Yeah, not athletic enough.
Not athletic enough, yeah. Not in shape enough. Yep. I mean, you know, they never had the perfect storm, and maybe they do now. I mean, at the very least, they're closer.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to see and to have. And same sort of thing as we just talked about with the DBs too. It's like, okay, if your tackle had a rough day, that's okay. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong's a potential All-American.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to make people have rough days. So yeah. Not the end of the world. But overall, I mean, you definitely, the spring as a whole, from what you've heard and what you saw, you think they're at least trending in the right direction?
Yeah, definitely building off of last year's momentum from the final 3 weeks when they were, you know, not only beat Texas, but were competitive against Iowa State, a game that they potentially
should have beat Iowa State.
Yeah, beat Iowa State. And then the finale at K-State, where it had been so long since you saw a KU team go compete in another team's stadium.
Yeah.
And they did that.
Yeah.
So I think even though they lost and, you know, it wasn't that close of a game, it just felt like real progress. And I think that progress has easily gone over into the offseason stuff everybody's been doing. All the guys that are coming back feel so much better about the direction of the program, and they have that proof now, you know, that we can actually hang with these teams, we can beat Big 12 teams, and that's got to be inspiring. And when you have that along with the major talents that they have with Dorrance Armstrong and Daniel Wise and Steven Sims, and I mean, that's a great foundation for this third year of David Beatty from KU football.
That's what I get. I get the sense that this is a culture change that's happening right before our eyes, and that everybody's much more comfortable with where they're at because they believe they're at a place that they should be at. And that goes from the players themselves all the way up to the coaching staff. David Beatty even, he looks and sounds more comfortable and confident and sure of himself and sure of this program. And you got to have all of it. That's a great sign. Real quick before we get out of here, anybody that surprised you, one guy that jumped out that you just really didn't expect to see either anything from, or maybe he did more than you thought?
I feel bad because I feel like all my focus was on offensive players just because...
You're that guy.
Yeah, I know.
Gosh.
No, because
such
that's...
a front runner.
I'm just watching the ball the entire game. but I think Kerr Johnson Jr. was probably the guy that kind of surprised me a little bit.
Wide receiver, true freshman?
No,
transfer.
Junior
okay.
college guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, who played out in California before
that's
coming
right.
here.
Yeah, that's right.
This is his first semester here, and he was able to make some plays with Carter Stanley out there. Had one really, really good catch at the back of the end zone that ended up being called back because of a hold on that play.
Okay.
But I think he had three catches. A number of guys had three catches.
Yeah, right.
He was one of them, and he wasn't a name that a lot of people had talked a whole lot about so far this spring. So I thought that was a good sign for him and a good sign for KU's depth at that skill position.
No doubt. And that was a guy they were really excited about on signing day when they ended up finding a way to get him and get him to get here. So anybody that maybe you did expect to see something from and that was kind of quiet out there?
If anything, maybe... Dorrance is such a loud talent in general. You
can
almost expect him to do...
Have a sack every play.
More. Yeah. I was honestly hoping that since it was a spring game, they would have some fun and just line him up at cornerback and have him try to guard Steven Sims in open field. I would have loved to have seen
that. I wish you were coaching.
So,
that would have been way more fun.
Exactly. Can you imagine the highlight video we would have got from
that? Yeah. However, imagine him getting hurt playing corner and then you're fired. Yeah, that'd be rough. Well, that's fair. I agree. I mean, you know, those are the guys you know will show up when the season counts. So you kind of expect them to do great things every time you're even in their presence. So
right.
Any final thoughts? Like you said, they got a couple games or practices, left, and then then it's, you know, finish finals and get school over with, and then head into the summer. And you know, I'll tell you what, these guys, there's no doubt that with the Joe Dineens of the world leading them, like you're talking about, Wise and Armstrong leading them, these guys are going to work harder than they ever have. They already did this offseason so far. They already did, I think, this spring. They're just going to turn it up to another level in the summer because that's what is right before their season, and that's where they, you know, they feel like that's where they can really make some even more progress. And once you get a taste of a little bit of progress, not even just beating Texas, but just progress, like we talked about, feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your meeting room and your position group, and just that you believe that this is what it's supposed to look like, this is what it's supposed to feel like, even just that bit of progress, it just snowballs and makes you want more and more and more. So I think they're heading for a big summer, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think one guy that I didn't really get to talk a lot about that I thought stood out was Chase Harrell.
Good call.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that ever since they signed him, David Beatty has been talking about his
potential. The next Mike Evans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's definitely invoked Mike Evans
I should say, I was joking there, because he's never said he's the next Mike
Evans.
Right. But he says he reminds me a lot of Mike. Yeah, you know, yeah. And that's big time comparison. That's a heck of a bar to set. But yeah, he never said he's the next one or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he does appear that he's coming to his own now.
Yeah, Chase Harrell is finally looking like a guy that can make an impact. And he's always had that long frame, but now he's got some real, you know, strength to him too.
He's physical. Yeah.
And I mean, that's a great target to have out there. I mean, basically a traditional tight end size, but a way more athletic version of that. So, I mean, and he showed he could make plays running on deep routes, and he's definitely a guy who's physical enough to make some catches over the middle. And I think a couple of times you saw last year where they like to use him in the red zone.
When
they got down the red zone, that's when you would see Chase Harrell come in.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see him become way more involved in the offense
cool.
in 2017.
Cool. Yeah, and he, you know, to borrow a phrase from David Beatty, he competes the daylights out of it. I mean, when that ball's in the air, he'll do anything to go up and get it. And, you know, sometimes he may get called for offensive pass interference, but that's, you want a guy like that believes that ball's his. And he does. He looks like he's finally matured physically into this ridiculous expectation that was kind of put on him, and that's okay. What is he, a sophomore, right?
Yeah, redshirt sophomore. Yeah. And KU needs someone like that in the passing game, because as good as Daylon Charlotte is, as good as Steven Sims is, those guys don't have a lot of height,
right?
You know,
same with Quiv. I mean those guys are burners and smaller, and
right.
And this is a big physical dude, so
who also has some speed, not as fast as those guys obviously, but you know, he's not like out there wearing cement blocks on his shoes. So.
Good deal. Well, there's your spring game breakdown. Benton was there, saw it all. He's going to go watch a little bit more just because he's kind of sick in the head like that. But, he's going to have all kinds of reaction and recaps and just feedback and coverage from that thing. That'll last at least another week. And then into the summer, kind of track this team's progress until it's go time again. So for Benton Smith, I'm Matt Tate. That's your spring game recap. A 14-7 game that was way more entertaining and full of information than 14-7 might indicate. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Spodcasters. We'll talk to you guys next time for another episode real soon.